This audio recording is a resource from the Center for Bioethical Reform, CBR. This and other resources can be found at www.abortionno.org. This essay is by Greg Cunningham, Executive Director of CBR. Read by CBR staff, November 2009. Dear pro-life supporter, regular readers of this letter know that for almost 20 years I have rejected the advice of fundraising experts and carefully avoided the use of scare tactics in CBR fundraising. So, though what I am about to tell you is alarming, it is not a fundraising tactic. It is the painful truth. As of mid-November 2009, our major donor contributions are off by 78% relative to their levels at the end of 2008. So far this year, we have received $86,114 in major donor income, as compared to our 2008 total of $403,930. We will have to receive $318,000 in the next 6 weeks if we are to close that shocking shortfall. In 2007, our major donor giving totaled $786,000. That means 2009 could see a 90% reduction in major donor giving relative to our 2007 total. As sobering as these numbers are, the financial news gets worse. Our regular donor giving, contributions under $5,000, is down by 27% year over year. As of mid-November, we have brought in $343,131 in regular donor contributions, but our 2008 figure was $470,280. This is a shortfall of $127,000 we must, and I do mean must, make up by the end of the year. When you add our major donor deficit of $318,000, we need to generate $445,000 in additional giving just to keep pace with last year's devastating drop. I can assure you that, by God's grace, CBR is not going to go away, even if we don't get this badly needed revenue. But I can also assure you that if we don't get more help from donors who can afford to send at least $5 more each month, savable babies will die in far greater numbers than would otherwise have been the case. And we could lose irreplaceable staff members who can no longer support their families by doing pro-life work. One of our most valuable associates is now talking seriously about being forced to return to the practice of medicine. He is not the only one we are in danger of losing. I ask this gently and respectfully, but it must be asked. Are you really unable to afford $5 each month to keep us doing critically important pro-life projects, which no one else in the world is doing? We cannot raise money by selling off assets for which there is no real market in this depressed economy. We can't borrow money from banks which have stopped lending. I am being forced to spend far more time than I should on fundraising to avoid even more catastrophic layoffs of staff. That time is time away from saving babies. We believe that we have enough donors with enough additional giving capacity to keep CBR from struggling. Now we must persuade them to reorder their spending priorities to free up the required resources. We need your help. We need it badly. We need it right away. Now for some good news. Today I received a report from Marius Dziardzowski, the director of our CBR affiliate in Poland. He wrote to thank us for giving him a strategy which has reduced support for abortion in Poland from 57% in 2005 to 31% in 2009. He has been taking our abortion photos to the public squares of cities all over his country for the last 4 years, and the results have been spectacular. We know that pictures work because we constantly receive letters of the sort which came in on October 29, 2009, from an 18-year-old girl named Cindy, who said she lived in Florida. She agreed that our abortion pictures had influenced her, and added, "What they are doing to those babies broke my heart. I can't stop crying at what I have seen. I will never support abortion." We saw similar reactions to our Genocide Awareness Project, GAP, display at the UC Berkeley campus last week. Berkeley was an especially important school on our fall gap tour because the academic ranking of world universities lists it as the third best in the world. That may be why topuniversities.com says Berkeley hosts students from all 50 states and more than 100 foreign countries. We watched countless young people stand in front of our huge abortion photos in stunned disbelief. Many pulled out cell phone cameras and snapped photos, which they emailed to friends all over the world. These students are the best and brightest their countries have to offer, or they could never gain admission to a school which rejects 4 out of every 5 applicants. Most will eventually return to their home countries to become the most influential leaders in every profession. They will never forget our pictures. The pictures work. Reuters.com reported a story November 2, 2009, headlined, "Planned Parenthood Director Quits Abortion Business, Experiences Conversion at Starting Place of 40 Days for Life." It quotes Abby Johnson, who says she resigned when she really reached my breaking point after witnessing a particular kind of abortion. She quit because she saw an abortion. The same thing happens when people see an abortion picture. Building on our Berkeley success, we are now arranging for an abortion photo display at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The governing board of the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics recently approved a plan to perform late-term abortions on women 19 to 22 weeks pregnant, for any reason or no reason at all. AP, UW Hospital Late-Term Abortions, May 18, 2009. "We are better prepared to fight this atrocity at that liberal school than any pro-life group in the country, but we will need your help. We never know who will be in any crowd we address. In the mid-1990s, Dr. Bill Calvin, one of our regional directors, persuaded a young lawyer to come to an abortion talk I gave at the Park Avenue Club in Morristown, New Jersey. He watched our CBR abortion videos. His name is Chris Christie. A few days ago, he was elected governor of New Jersey. At the start of our Park Avenue Club meeting, he was pro-choice. During his campaign against Governor John Corzine, he was attacked for supporting a constitutional ban on abortion and opposing embryonic stem cell harvesting. I was able to influence his policy positions because faithful donors sent me to meet him. Our pictures had an effect. So did his election victory." The Los Angeles Times reported a story titled, "Some Democrats Shaken by Independent Voters' Shift, November 5, 2009, which said that Blue Dog Democrat members of Congress were spooked by the fact that so many independent voters abandoned Democrats in the Virginia and New Jersey governor's races, both of which were won by pro-life Republicans. The article said, "Moderate Democrats are wondering whether they can afford to follow President Obama's ambitious legislative agenda on such controversial issues as health care. Those misgivings may be our best hope of derailing an Obamacare proposal which would radically expand access to abortion in this country. There is still hope." The Hill carried a story headlined, "Representative Stupak Threatens to Work with Republicans to Kill Healthcare Bill, October 28, 2009. It reported that Representative Bart Stupak, Democrat, Michigan, said he may torpedo healthcare reform unless he gets a vote to strip abortion-related provisions out of the House bill. Representative Stupak claimed to have lined up the 40 votes necessary from the Democrat caucus to kill the House bill if Speaker Nancy Pelosi refused to allow a vote on his amendment to block the use of government-collected funds to pay for abortion coverage. He is working with Representative Joe Pitts, Republican, Pennsylvania, with whom I worked to pass pro-life legislation when I served as a state legislator. Ms. Pelosi initially doubted that Mr. Stupak really did have the support required to remove the pro-abortion language from the Obamacare bill, and she at first refused to allow it to come to a vote. She instead offered yet another compromise amendment, this one by Representative Brad Ellsworth, Democrat, Indiana, which the National Right to Life Committee's Douglas Johnson condemned as phony and a mere money laundering scheme, in the New York Times story headlined, House Haggles Over Abortion in Health Care Bill, November 4, 2009. Adding weight to the accusation that Mr. Ellsworth's proposal was a scam, Bloomberg.com, Democrats Seek Votes on Health Care as Delay Possible, November 6, 2009, reported that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops said it also opposes the Ellsworth plan. Thank heaven the Stupak Amendment was eventually offered and adopted. But Ms. Pelosi insisted that even without the Stupak Amendment, no public money will be used to pay for abortions, because she will call the public money which will be used to pay for abortions something other than public money. She's the Alice's Red Queen, Lewis Carroll's looking through the looking glass, in her power to make words mean exactly what I want them to mean. A story in Roll Call headlined, Pelosi refuses to call new spending another stimulus package, October 21, 2009, is a case in point. Her cynical refusal to call a stimulus bill is explained by a Time.com story titled, The White House Readies a Stealth Stimulus, October 19, 2009. The article refers to an August Gallup poll which found that 65% of Americans oppose a second stimulus. So, Mr. Obama and Ms. Pelosi will break down their second stimulus bill into several smaller bills and call them something other than stimulus bills. The Democrats do this sort of thing all the time. FoxNews.com reported a story headlined, Senate Leaders Fail to Get Enough Votes to Consider Doctor Fix, October 21, 2009, which described Mr. Obama assumedly doing polling which revealed public opposition to an Obamacare bill whose price tag would top $1 trillion. So he merely removed a $247 billion section from the bill and tried to pass it separately to create the misleading impression that Obamacare would cost less than $900 billion, which sounds like a lot less than a trillion. But by the night of November 6th, the Los Angeles Times reported, Democrats secure abortion funding deal on eve of expected health vote, that Ms. Pelosi had blinked and granted Mr. Stupak a floor vote on his truly restrictive abortion amendment. The next day, however, House Minority Leader John Boehner, Republican Ohio, accused Ms. Pelosi of secretly promising pro-aborts that the Stupak restrictions would be stripped out of the bill before final passage. He forced Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat California, to publicly admit that he couldn't guarantee the survival of the restrictions if the Stupak Amendment were approved. FoxNews.com, Republicans question abortion agreement in effort to stop health care momentum, November 7, 2009. This crowd is unscrupulous. For example, Mr. Obama recently ordered his Justice Department to stop enforcing the federal ban on marijuana. Now all recreational dope smoking will become therapeutic medical marijuana smoking. He knows he can't get the ban repealed, so he just won't enforce it. SFGate.com, medical pot backers react to new Obama policy, October 19, 2009. This may seem arrogant, but after all, he did win the Nobel Prize. Then FoxNews.com, November 6, 2009, reported a story headlined, Obama pressures undecided Dems to vote for House health care bill. Why are lawmakers being rushed to vote on this nearly 2,000-page bill to which they have only been given access for 72 hours? The Washington Post reported on November 6, 2009, in a story headlined, Health Bill Vote is a Close Call, that Democrat leaders feared that if members were given more time to consider the bill, it was likely new issues would flare up, particularly as lawmakers digest the results from Tuesday's elections. Lawmakers are frightened for reasons the Wall Street Journal, Tuesday's suburban vote swing, November 4, 2009, reported in a story about November's off-year elections. The overall shift away from Democrats by independent and suburban voters was 13 points in Virginia, 12 points in New Jersey, and 8 points in Pennsylvania. A few conflicting headlines may explain why trust in the honesty of White House and congressional Democrat leadership is eroding. Fraud. TPMDC.TalkingPointsMemo.com, October 29, 2009, reports, CBO, Congressional Budget Office, says House health care bill is deficit reducer in near and long term. Fact. An October 23rd AP story headlined, House health care bill over $1 trillion for decade, reports that numerous officials acknowledge the CBO figure underestimates the bill's true cost by $150 billion or more. Fraud. The New York Times reported October 30, 2009, that the White House chalks up 650,000 jobs to stimulus. Fact. The Associated Press, October 29, 2009, reported a story headlined, Stimulus Jobs Overstated by Thousands. Fact. ABC's Jake Tapper reports a story October 30, 2009, headlined, $160,000 per stimulus job? White House calls that calculator abuse, which estimates that each new job created or saved, a concept Caroline Baum calls a White House fantasy, Bloomberg.com, October 28, 2009, cost taxpayers $160,000. Fact, Americans for Tax Reform, $650,000 jobs saved or created, really, October 28, 2009, pegged the per-job cost of the stimulus at $230,000 per worker. Fact, the Sacramento Bee reported a story November 6, 2009, headlined, Many California jobs saved by stimulus funds weren't in jeopardy. Fraud, the Washington Post, August 21, 2009, reported a story headlined, U.S. says cash for clunkers program will end on Monday, which quoted Mr. Obama saying the program has been successful beyond anyone's imagination. Fact, on October 29, 2009, the Los Angeles Examiner reported a story quoting Edmunds.com analysts titled Cash for Clunkers Said to Cost $24,000 Per Car Sold. Fraud, Bloomberg.com said the Obama Commerce Department calculated a 3.5% growth rate in gross domestic product for the third quarter, U.S. economy, consumers, government, propel growth, October 29, 2009. Fact, the Business Insider reported a story, October 29, 2009, headlined, Cash for Clunkers Massively Distorted GDP. The article claimed that without the taxpayer-funded bailout, gross domestic product would have only grown an anemic 1.89%. And these people want us to trust them when they say Obamacare will never fund elective abortions. When corporate officials are guilty of accounting fraud, they often get punished. Remember the accounting scandals involving Waste Management, Xerox, Enron, Adelphia, AOL, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Global Crossing, Halberton, Kmart, Merrick, Merrill Lynch, Quest, Sunbeam, WorldCom, HealthSouth, Chiquita, AIG, and Bernie Madoff? Our government is just as fraudulent, but corrupt politicians seldom get punished. We are working to get them punished at the ballot box. The challenge is huge. Pew Research recently conducted a poll which disclosed that 42% of Americans still say they are unaware of Mr. Obama's position on abortion. That is why we work so hard to expose his use of health care reform as a mechanism with which to kill more children. And our tactics are working. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life also says popular support for abortion has dropped 7 points over the last year. Now is not the time to back off. I assure you that Mr. Obama won't ease up because of funding shortfalls. Please redouble your efforts to help us to redouble ours. Lord bless. Greg Cunningham, Executive Director. P.S. In the midst of UC Berkeley Gap, an email arrived on my wife's cell phone. 2 days prior, Lois had sent a follow-up message to a pregnant woman whom we'd helped online. Carrie had vacillated for months about having an abortion. Her message reads, We are about 5 months now and having a girl. We are happy that we will be having our baby. Thank you for your help. We helped her because you help us. We are passing her thanks along to you. This concludes the recording of Greg Cunningham's letter of November 2009. For more information on this and other topics, go to www.abortionno.org.